Hey, hey, it's Allison Katzkowski. Thank you so much for tuning in to this edition of The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am thrilled that you're here with me this morning on this Tuesday morning. I hope that whatever you are doing, you're having a fabulous day and a fabulous start to your week. So today, we're continuing our deep dive into energy and metabolism, which has really been our focus for February. And that's largely because February is considered to be National Heart Health Month. And energy and metabolism, as you all have heard me talk about, is directly connected to how we take care of our heart and our circulatory system and really how our body runs in general. So last week, I touched on some tips and strategies to help you boost your metabolism. Well, today, I'm going to continue that. But I'm also going to get a little bit more into what happens to our metabolism as we age and how we can actually maintain a high and effective metabolism as we get older. Because let's be honest, we're all getting older. Every day of every week, everyone's getting older. And this is a subject that people ask me about a lot. So I thought it would be good to continue from our discussion that we had last week. And really, all throughout this month, we're going to be touching on this subject. The next couple of weeks, I have two other show topics planned to continue our focus on energy and metabolism. And if at any point you want to reach out to me, if you have specific questions about energy, about how your metabolism works, or if you're just curious about that in general, please feel free to reach out to me. Head over to my website at cufitness.com, the letter C, the letter U, fitness.com, and click Contact Us. Or you're welcome to reach out to me directly at Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N, at cufitness.com. That's the letter C, the letter U, fitness.com. I always love to hear from you. So please feel free to do that if you're so inclined. So like I said, today our continued focus is going to be on how to maintain our metabolism and keep it really active as we get older. Because people tend to think as we get older that everything changes. And that things aren't the same and that ship has sailed and, I've got to be straight up with you. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not as young as I used to be. I hear that a lot too. And quite honestly, I hear myself saying that sometimes to myself. So, and I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. So what I'm going to share with you today are the four biggest factors that influence our metabolism. And really, hopefully, give you some more tips and strategies as to how you can maintain your metabolism as you get older. And these are simple, everyday things. And I touched on some of this last week, but I'm just going to go into it a little bit more detail today. So if you have something to write with, great. If not, no worries. I tend to be a science geek, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a science background here, but nothing too complicated, and hopefully it can be enough to help you increase your knowledge base in general when it comes to metabolism and how metabolism works. So let's get started. Let's get started in the biggest factors that influence your metabolism, okay? And the first one is our hormones. And this is just a fact. This is the way it is, whether you're male or female. There are really several different classes of hormones, rather, okay? Probably the biggest one is growth hormone. Sometimes you see this referred to if you read any articles or read any kind of scientific readings online, you might see growth hormone referred to as HGH, okay? That is growth hormone. And that is probably the biggest predictor and biggest contributor to how our muscles get built and rebuilt, if you will. There's a lot of things that growth hormone does for us. It really assists in helping our, not just our muscles, but our body cells in general repair. It also assists with our immune system function and also plays a vital role in how most of our vital organs work too. So why is this important for metabolism? Because obviously if our muscles don't get a chance to repair and grow accordingly based on our activity levels and what we eat, then our metabolism really doesn't exist. So our growth hormone really plays a big time role in how all of that works. Okay. The other factors of hormones that influence our metabolism are our sex hormones. That's estrogen and testosterone, probably are the two biggies. And it's been documented that both of these decrease as we get older. As women enter menopause, frequently as women hit 50 and older, we tend to see decreases in estrogen. Same with men. Once they hit the age of 45 to 50, they tend to see testosterone levels decrease. And the other big player in the hormone family are the thyroid hormones. These are directly connected to how our metabolism functions. The main thyroid hormones are T3 and T4. They are produced by our pituitary gland, which is influenced by our hypothalamus, which is sort of like the control center, if you will, in the brain that really dictates how our hormones, how they're produced, where they go, and all that type of thing. And there are other places in our body that participate in this communication system too, but those are the biggies. But I want to really focus on growth hormone today because there's a lot of really exciting research coming out now to suggest that there are actually things that we can do as we get older to stimulate not just the production of growth hormone, but to assist in its efficiency and how well it's actually used, which is probably the biggest piece of all this and why I wanted to take some time to go over this with you today. It's activity and exercise can actually do what's called optimize how our growth hormone works, okay? And really what that means is it really helps the growth hormone that we have in our bodies work better. So you've heard me talk a lot about how our bodies become so much more efficient and effective the more active we are. And I've likened it almost to the example and the comparison of a gas economy car versus a luxury car. A gas economy car is going to be what we call more economical. And I'll never forget one of my professors when I was in grad school used that word a lot when he talked about the effect that exercise and activity has on our body systems in general. Our entire body becomes more economical. So think about what that can mean for your life. It can mean that not only can you go further, but think about the fact that if you can use less energy to do the things that you like to do, think of how much more energy would be left over for you to be able to enjoy more. And that's really the biggest piece of all this is that we all want to feel good and we all want to have plenty of energy to do the things that we want. Because let's be honest, we're all approaching the second half of our lives. And that doesn't mean that we have to sit in a rocking chair on our porch and read the newspaper all the time. Okay. Or, you know, sit at home because we're told that we're too old to do those types of things. That's not the case at all. Age is just a number. And so, you know, my whole mission, you know, what I believe I was put on this planet for is to lead a movement to help you live the best possible lifestyle for yourself that you can, because living the life that you want is what it's all about. So let's get back to growth hormone. Okay. Growth hormone really is responsible for so many things in our body, like I said before, but it does play a big role in how our metabolism works. And so is it possible, though, knowing all that, we also know that as we get older, the amount of growth hormone that we have in our body actually does go down. That's a fact. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's not the case. But what I can tell you is that there are things that we can do to make the growth hormone in our body work better and really slow down that aging process. I cannot tell you how many people I know over the age of 60 and 70 who are still really fit and active. They're moving around, they're doing the things that they want to do, and you know, they're refusing to say, just because I'm older, I'm not going to stop living. And that's really the mindset that I want all of you to adopt that is listening to this at this moment, okay? So what are things that we can do to help influence how our growth hormone actually works better for us, how we're able to optimize it? And there are several things that we actually have control over, and all of these things in the long run can help optimize and help our growth hormone levels work to our advantage. Because even though we're getting older and we can't fight the clock necessarily, there are choices that we can make, which really comes down to our day-to-day self-care behaviors. And that's really what this show is all about. So let's go over what some of those are. The first of which is to lose body fat. And, you know, as we get older, this is obviously a big issue because, like I said, as we get older, our metabolism does slow down. That's just a biology and science fact. But there are things that we can do to help put us on the path to reducing the amount of body fat that we have. And you heard me talk about last week how important resistance training and strength training is in this process. And I'm going to mention that again, because being active not just being active, but participating in some type of strength training goes a long way to not only helping our muscle mass work better for us, but help to optimize the growth hormone levels that we have in our bodies now. That's irregardless, really, of how old you are or where you are on the aging clock, okay? So whatever things that we can do to help reduce the amount of body fat that we have is going to go a long way to how well the growth hormone that we have works for us. The second factor is reducing our sugar intake. And we hear, you know, you hear this talked about quite a bit these days. There seems to be a real focus now on exactly what sugar does in our body and having high levels of sugar can do. And I'll just mention this again. You know, I mentioned last week, if you're keen on reading food labels, take a moment when you buy your snack foods or the things that taste sweet to you in the store and they're packaged. Take a minute and look at the labels and see how many ingredients have OSE on the end. OSE is just the scientific name for sugar. Table sugar is a compound called sucrose. That's what's in candy bars. That's what's in sugary cereal. That's what's in ice cream and dessert. And alcohol and a lot of the pleasures that we enjoy day to day, or the pleasures that we like, that we enjoy when we like to celebrate special occasions. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you can't do that. Far from it. I'm going to tell you to enjoy that. But I am going to tell you to be strategic on what choices that you actually make. And really, how much sugar should we be consuming on a day-to-day basis? We really should have 20% of our daily calories or less, really, ideally, should come from sugar. And this is difficult because sugar is present in so many things. So what I want to challenge you to do is look at what's in your cupboard, look at what's in your fridge, look at what's on those middle aisles on the eye level in the grocery store. A lot of those items are really high in sugar. And the processed foods are really where we as Americans tend to fall in the gutter because everybody's so busy. Everybody wants to eat quickly and on the run. People don't want to take time to cook and meal prep anymore because they perceive that it's just too hard and it takes too much time. And I'm here to tell you, if that's the way you're thinking, then I really can't help you. There's not a lot I can do. Okay. So you have to really make the decision that you want to make this change for yourself. You know, we always know what we need to do, but we have to really get clear and connected as to what's going to help move the needle for us, as to what's going to help us really make the change that we need so that we can stick to it long term. So whatever you need to do to look at reducing your sugar intake is going to go a long way to overall how your metabolism functions as you get older. Okay. The third piece of this is obviously activity, and I'm going to mention this in a little while, but this is a big part of how our hormones can work to help us. And this is where intensity comes in. And this is why we're seeing such a boom, or a reboom, if you will, of high intensity interval training. This is frequently abbreviated as HIIT, H-I-I-T. And you may see this whether you go to a club or whether you don't go to a club or whether you work out online or whatever strategy you use. And I know you probably heard me mention it a lot. But the reason that this is so effective is that it allows your body to utilize much more muscle doing the same types of exercises that you would do in, say, a regular garden variety strength training workout. And the reason this is effective as far as our hormones go is this really... I'll stop short of saying it causes our hormones to kick into gear, but it allows our hormones to work at a much better level. HIIT training actually kicks our hormones into gear because it allows the hormones that we have to work much better for us. So this is why intensity is so important. And you heard me talk about last week, what can you do to increase the intensity of the activity that you're doing? And maybe you're saying, well, HIIT training isn't for me, Allison. That ship sailed a long time ago. Then think about, what is it that you're doing that you can actually do a little harder? Can you run up the stairs a little faster? Can you add a few jumping jacks? Can you push yourself and work a little bit harder on the activities that you're actually doing? That's really the key. That's the key to increasing the intensity. It's not going and doing 20 burpees if you know that's not going to happen. Okay. So again, we have to find the strategy that works for us. So if you're sitting there thinking, well, HIIT isn't going to work for me, then I'm going to challenge you to think, what can you do in your daily activity or the activity program that you're on now to increase the intensity of that, because you can get close to the same effect. Two other things that can impact our growth hormone are not just the portion sizes of the food that we eat, but the time of day that we eat. It is a known fact that most of our growth hormone is produced when we sleep. And this is when a lot of repair, this is when a lot of new tissue and our muscles actually, quote unquote, fix themselves while we sleep. So again, this is factor number five as well, is making sure that we get plenty of sleep. And it's not just plenty of sleep, but it's good quality sleep. So eating a huge meal and then laying down to go to bed isn't going to do us any favors for allowing our growth hormone to do its job. Okay, so it's usually a good idea to not eat a huge meal and then lay down. It's probably a better strategy to think in terms of eating, you know, and not eating a couple of hours before you go to bed, because that allows the food that we've eaten to really effectively be broken down, and those nutrients to be taken to places in our body that need them, and that allows our growth hormone to actually do its job. So think about that with respect to your lifestyle and how that's going to work, okay? So that's the first factor as to what influences our metabolism is our hormones, okay? Factor number two is our activity level, and you heard me talk about this a lot last week. So I'm just going to harp on this a little bit more today if I can. What I have found to be fascinating in all of my reading with respect to exercise, fitness, metabolism, and the aging process is how important this piece actually is. And not just how important it is, but how much of a role it actually plays. And what that actually means for you is that we do still have control over this as we get older. Just because we're getting older doesn't mean that we have to throw in the towel when it comes to being active. The biggest piece, there are really two things that influence this, the way I see it, as we get older. And one is we tend to be less active as we get older. And that's a fact. We tend to move around less. We tend to do things less. We tend to sit more. And a lot of that is because our lifestyle really changes. You know, we find ourselves, you know, being less active because of the life changes that we're going through. I read some statistics the other day. 1/4 of people age 65 and older don't work out outside of work. They're not active at all outside of work. So think about that, okay? Who comes home at 5 o'clock and sits on the sofa or in a recliner and doesn't move the rest of the night except to walk back to your bedroom? Do you have any idea what you can do during that time that can actually help benefit you and help you feel better? And it doesn't have to be hard. It's like I always say, once we hit the age of 75, this number goes up to 33% of all people. That's mind-boggling to me. This is one of the reasons why we've seen such a huge increase, particularly in the United States in general, in the senior population being more active. We're seeing activity programs and fitness options available for people over the age of 65 and 70. There's more of those now than there ever has been, as far as I can recall. We're seeing senior communities pop up everywhere with all kinds of options for seniors to stay active. I mean, folks, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, just because we're getting older doesn't mean that we have to stop being active. And if you think that that pertains to you, then think again, because I'd be willing to bet there's plenty of things that you can do. Factor number two is that we tend to lose muscle as we age. And this is a scientific fact. This is part of the aging process. Once people reach the age of 80 on balance, they have 30% less muscle than they did when they were just age 40 or 50. So the answer to that is obviously strength training. It's like I talked about last week. And if you're thinking that this is going to be too difficult for you, then I'm going to encourage you to always start with bodyweight exercises, push-ups against your kitchen counter, for example, squats, lunges, wall sits, planks. If you're not able to get down on the floor, maybe you can lean against a wall or a kitchen counter and practice a plank that way. Maybe you can use a chair instead of going all the way down to the floor. There's always something that you can do to help strengthen your muscles. And then the third factor with activity, and this is where I'm going to put my science geek hat on for a minute, if I may, and that is mitochondria. Now, I want you to think of mitochondria among the science experts is known to be what's called the energy currency of the cell. And I'm going to liken this to the dollar in the U.S. economy. That's our energy energy currency in terms of our money currency, okay? And when it comes to mitochondria in our cells, this is where everything happens. It's kind of like a like the bank, if you will. And when we think about there are more banks going up different places, we obviously know that there's more money being exchanged. There's more places for people to put their money. There's more places for people to do business with money when there are more banks, okay? Well, think about that in terms of your body and your muscle, okay? When there are more mitochondria that pop up, okay, due to either muscles being repaired, new muscle growth, new organ development, whatever you want to call it, okay? When there are more mitochondria popping up, then that means that our metabolism is higher because there's more energy being produced. There's more energy being exchanged, and there's more energy being produced. So obviously, when we're more active, this is a side benefit because this really happens irregardless of how much muscle we already have. So I don't want you to think, well, I don't have much muscle anyway, so that's really not going to apply to me. That's not really the case because the more active you are, the more mitochondria your body is going to form, if you will. And that means more energy, which means a higher metabolism. Okay, so it's all connected. So those are your three factors with respect to activity. And I'm here to tell you that this is probably a bigger piece than the hormone piece as we get older. Okay, because there's a direct relationship between activity and metabolism. Okay, all right, so our last two factors with respect to our metabolisms are, well, the first is genetics. And I'm not going to lie to you, genetics is a biggie, and it's something that we really can't control. So if you know that you have, you know, slow metabolism in your family, for example, or maybe being overweight runs in your family, or maybe you know, you have relatives or family members that you know struggle with metabolism, odds are that may or may not affect you, but that still doesn't excuse not wanting to do something about it. I don't have the recent, you know, most recent statistics in front of me when it comes to the direct relationship of genetics. It used to be years ago that people said genetics was at least half of what we're able to do with our bodies, and exercise and training was the other half. And I'm not so sure that's completely accurate anymore with everything that's coming out. But the one thing I can tell you about your genetics is the more you know, the better off you're going to be. So if you know that that's an issue in your family, then my suggestion to you is to use that as motivation, is to use that to challenge yourself to want to do something about what's really within your control. We tend to use things as crutches in our society. We tend to think, well, I can't do anything about that anyway. Well, that's out of my control. Well, that's just the way it is. And I'm telling you, that's not the way it has to be. You're just telling yourself you've made that decision and you've convinced yourself that that's the best route to go for you. So why not challenge it? Why not challenge the status quo? Why not try to do something different? Simply because you can. You have that choice to make. And if you can convince your mind, then guess what? The sky's the limit. You're capable of achieving just about anything that you want. Okay, so the fourth factor in metabolism as we age is obviously our diet. Okay, and obviously this is something we do have control over. The two biggest factors in our metabolism with respect to what we eat are our protein intake and our sugar intake. And I've already mentioned sugar intake, so let me talk about protein again for a minute. I talked about this last week. It is a known fact that the more protein we consume, assuming that it's high quality protein, can have a positive effect on our metabolism. Okay. As our muscles get stronger and repair and recover from injury and damage, protein is a big part of that. Okay. Protein is also a big part of our immune system and how well or well it doesn't function. And it also contributes to our ability to focus and concentrate. So eating lots of good quality protein has what we call a thermogenic effect on our metabolism. And what that means in English, if you will, is that it has a increase in our metabolism. Okay. It's like throwing gas on a fire. What happens when you do that? The fire gets a little bigger because it burns brighter. It uses more energy. The same thing with our metabolism happens. Okay. When we consume protein, it helps. And more importantly in all this is that it helps preserve our muscle mass. And that's probably more important than as we get older in making new muscle is preserving the muscle that we have and helping it work better for us. Okay. So And then I already talked about sugar intake. So anywhere that you can look at reducing your sugar intake is going to help in the grand scheme of things. Okay. So that's what I got for you today as far as metabolism, helping you maintain a healthy metabolism as you get older. Folks, I'm here to tell you, just because you're getting older doesn't mean that life is over. And it doesn't mean that we can't continue to do the things that we want to do. So if someone's telling you that, then I challenge you to think differently, okay? As we approach the second half of our lives, folks, we got a lot to look forward to. And so if you're thinking that you've lived the life that you want and you're okay with that, then I'm not going to try to fight you on that. But if you're thinking that maybe there's something else out there for you, if you're thinking that I still have things I want to do, then let's talk. Let's look at the things that you're doing every day. Look at what you're doing to make yourself better. Look at what you're doing to take care of yourself, folks. That's what it's all about, okay? Reach out to me. I always love to hear from you. Feel free to head to my website, cufitness.com. That's the letter C, the letter U, fitness.com, and click contact us and send me an email. You're welcome to email me directly at Allison, A-L-I-S-O-N, Allison at CUFitness.com. That's the letter C, the letter U, fitness.com. I always love to hear from you. And if you're on Facebook, head over and join my private Facebook group, Living Your Ultimate Life Through Fitness and Self-Care. We've got a great group of folks there. And every week, I usually do a live training over there. And this month, it's on energy and metabolism. So if you want to learn more, if any of this sounds really interesting and intriguing to you, I want to encourage you to come over and join us. You have an open invitation anytime. That's Living Your Ultimate Life Through Fitness and Self-Care. Look for us on Facebook, or feel free to reach out to me privately. We've got a lot of fun things going on, folks. It's always great to be with you. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. Being able to spend some time with you every week and talk about my passion and what I love and sharing that with you to help you make your life better. Folks, this is what I live for. So I hope you have a great rest of your week. This is Allison Kaczkowski with the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life. Make it a good one.